Our new series is called Our Church, and for the next several weeks, we're just going to have some talks about just what our church is all about and what church is all about. And I want to begin by asking a couple questions and just get some feedback. We're going to do a little discussion for fun this morning, and just want to encourage you to think, kind of open up your mind and think about those kind of things that are related to church. Thank you all for being here, by the way. It means a lot when you show up to your local church and the body of Christ gets to work together around things. But I want you to think about this question just for a minute or two, really hard. Like, wake your brain up, you know, if you've had enough coffee or whatever you're having. Wake your brain up and get that clear. Why do we gather here? Why did you come here this morning? Don't answer out loud. Just, why did you come here this morning? Think about that. Why did you come here this morning? You got up, you got dressed, like 90% of the people in your neighborhood, at least in my neighborhood, 80% of the people in my neighborhood are still at their houses. Some of them are cutting grass, some of them are, you know, swimming in their pools, or some of them are just, you know, getting ready to go to the lake or do whatever they're going to do for the day. You know, they might be going shopping, and it might be their shopping day or whatever. They might be doing family stuff, might be having a big meal at their house, so, or at somebody else's house, and they got to prepare and go. And that's what they did. But this group of people that are seated here today, you woke up and dressed up and you came and drove into the driveway at Northside, and now you're here. I just want you to think in your head, for real, why did you actually do that? Why did you actually do that? My wife's going, because I married the pastor and that's what we do on Sundays. For my whole life, what we have to do on Sundays. We've never done anything else. All we know how to do, right? But there's a reason you're here, unless you married a pastor. There's a reason you're here, and it's your reason, right? 80,000 churches this year, 80,000 evangelical churches are going to close their doors. 80,000. You know how many lights? That's 80,000 lights in this community. 80,000 lights in the United States of America. That's U.S. statistics, by the way, not worldwide. That's U.S. 80,000 churches are going to turn their lights out. And that's the light of the gospel, by the way. Not, I'm not talking about their lights. They're going to do that too. But the light of the gospel is going to go quenched, done. And by the way, there's a movement among most city governments that when churches close, if they capture that land back as a city, it's revenue for them. See, we don't pay city taxes on, the city doesn't, can't tax the churches. You know, this church that bought the 100 acres right above us here, you know, the city was willing to give them 100 acres. But if they ever lose it, the city gets 100 acres worth of taxes if they can get it back from them, right? So these churches that are closing, a lot of cities are saying it can't be a religious organization anymore. And you can call that persecution or whatever you want to call it, or just some people just say it's good business for the city. But these churches that are closing are not going to get their property back as a church anymore. It's going to have to be a business. And there's businesses in this town that have moved into old churches in this town. Well, Cody's going to pass these handouts out, and I want you to look at Acts chapter 2 with me and let you know we're going to do some church basics. We did a series a couple, three, 4 years ago called Church 101. This is Church 001 maybe. So, we're just going to back up and do some basics. And I want to tell you, one of the reasons I want to do this with you, I think it's important that you hear the heart of the pastor, the heart of the shepherds. We're going to have some Q&A time coming up where the elders, Kendall and myself, and a couple of our staff guys are just going to field questions from you if you have them, or discussions. We can have discussions. So we'll turn the cameras off for all that, but this is our community family time, and we want you to be a part of that, and we want you to, but I need you to hear the heart of your pastor and what God's laid heavily burdened on my heart for all the years I've been here, ever since I literally drove up in the driveway in a big red Suburban that we used to have and came here to minister as the lead pastor. The truths from Acts chapter 2 have been very heavy on my heart. And so I want you to read with me, and I'm going to back up a little bit further than I normally do. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter's been preaching to a multitude of, by the way, these are mostly Jewish people that he's preaching to, probably almost predominantly Jewish people. He's been preaching to them, and he's wrapping up his message, and you guys know what's going to happen at the end of Acts chapter 2. We call it the birth of the church. The church has now been birthed. And in my brain, it's sort of always been this giant collective of 3,000 people in one whole place, but there's not a place like that. And the synagogue here would have held a lot of them, but not all of them. And so probably a lot of what you're going to see happened kind of all over the city here at the same time, all at the same time. Peter preaches verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Now, Jesus has just ascended into heaven, 50 plus days on earth. He's been resurrected. He's been seen by multitudes of people, and he's just left. And he's commissioned the disciples in Acts chapter 1. We'll talk about that at camp. He's commissioned them to do some work. And he says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, many as the Lord our God will call to himself." As many as the Lord will God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." If you're marking things on your handout or in your physical Bible, highly recommend you underline that little phrase, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. Sorry, that's me. That was me. Okay, better. 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now here's the beautiful part of this passage. It says everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Theologians believe that everyone there is the community, not just the believers, the Jewish people that came to Christ this day and started this movement, what we call the church, but it's literally the everyone in the area. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. A sense of awe. Can you say awe? Yeah, awe. It's not that kind of awe, by the way. Not like, "Oh, he's not going to sing again, is he?" No, awe. And it's not like, "Oh, they're not going to try to, he's not going to try to play the piano again." At all. Not that. It's a sense of awe, like unbelievable work of God, reverence, awe. You know, like when you see something amazing, awe. That kind of deal. Had one of those last night, by the way. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their properties and possessions and were sharing with them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, where you know it's the Jewish folks that are gathering here, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Who added to the number of the church in this? This is the original church design. Who added to the number? The Lord. Not a man, but the Lord. Not a staff, not a program. The Lord added to the number. And it's because of what God was launching here through these guys. Now, I want you to look back at verse 40. Tell me what the culture was like that the church started in. Somebody tell me the word. What was the culture like? It was perverse, crooked, unhealthy. It wasn't a good culture at all. It was crooked. It was far from God. It was acting in a way that was far from the straight righteousness of God. That's the culture. That sound familiar at all to you today? Our culture is 1,000% exactly right there. Right there. Right? And if we're not careful, here's what a lot of these churches we were talking, Assembly was talking about these churches that are closing. If we're not careful, churches close because they think the culture's the problem. They get all lost in this Culture's the problem. If it just wasn't like that, if people wouldn't do that anymore, if we wouldn't have that, and if this legislation and all that, this culture that the church was born in was just as bad, if not worse, than our culture in hundreds of ways. Right? They didn't have people fighting against abortion there. That it was just common to have abortions there. Killing children back then was just common. Like, sort of accepted. Right? So it was a very dark, unhealthy culture that the church, the body of Christ, was born into. So, and I just want you to see on your handout here. Oh, let me take you to Mark chapter 8. I think I printed it out on your handout for you. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. This is the same culture that Jesus preached into. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, and one of the translations of that word there is perverse, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him at when he comes in the glory of his Father and his angels. So the adulterous and sinful generation is the culture that Jesus preached the gospel into, spread the gospel, died to prove the gospel's reality, and then he commissions his disciples. And I'm going to tell you, every one of you that know Christ your Lord and Savior, it's you. He commissioned you. Every one of you, he commissioned you to live in a perverse generation like he walked in and express a witness of what's happening. So let me just give you a quick list that comes right out of this passage. Northside exists and gathers together. Here's why we come together. Okay, it's because we really like the bald fat guy every Sunday. No, it's not anything about that guy, right? It's not why we exist. We exist to devote ourselves to the teachings of God and our Creator and to Jesus Christ, His Son. It's exactly what the New Testament church did. They devoted themselves to the teachings of God, the Creator, and His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, just talk out loud. We're just family here today, right? When it says they devoted themselves to it, what do you think that word means in that culture? What is someone who devoted themselves to something? Gave themselves to it. But how? How do you devote yourself to something? Anybody here devoted to anything? I'm just asking out loud. Anybody here devoted to something? Right. I'm devoted to my family, by the way. I don't win those awards all the time, but I am very devoted to my family. I hope you're devoted to your family. Devoted. Like anything that messes with my family, I'm going to deal with. I'm just going to deal with it, right? And I'm going to love with all of my heart. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to work hard and devote myself to my family, right? You're devoted to your sons, to your daughters. You're devoted to them, and you'll do anything for them. Here's what it says. The New Testament church, when it launched, had a bunch of people that said, we are going to be devoted to this work that God's doing. And we're going to be devoted to the teachings of God and Christ Jesus, his Son, who is our Savior. We're devoting ourselves. That's the foundation of your faith, by the way, is be devoted to Jesus Christ as everything. He's everything for you. And you're fully surrendered to Him. Okay? Secondly, you're supposed to build a community of people, which is what happens here in this text, who function as an ever-expanding family for the glory of God. The body of Christ is to be an ever-expanding family. If it's collapsing, Miss Emily's point again, she was like way ahead. She read my notes over the weekend, I guess, and knew what we were going to talk about. She's always in tune with it. But if the family of God is collapsing, it's not meeting the criteria of Acts chapter 2. It's just not. It's why Paul, we've been studying in Wednesday nights, Paul's letter to Timothy, his last letter that he wrote before he was executed, his last inspired letter that he wrote before he was executed is 2 Timothy. And the whole point of 2 Timothy 1 is, Timothy, guard the treasure that's been given to you. Stop being shy and ashamed and guard the treasure. You've been entrusted with the treasure of the gospel. The truth about the gospel is clear in your head, clear in your heart. Saw it in your grandmother, saw it in your mother. Now I see it in you. God put some gift in you, a gifting in you, for you to literally preach and teach and share the gospel. So I need you to guard the gospel. And when he says guard, he doesn't mean, hey, go get the gospel and write it down on a piece of paper, lock it in a box and bury it so nobody can ever, so we always know what the gospel is. That's not how you guard the gospel. In Paul's day, they were trying to shut the gospel down. Every way they could, they were trying to shut down the gospel. And they had, the Romans were after it. They wanted the Christianity thing to go away. It was driving them nuts. And the devout Jews that had never followed Christ, they were trying to do the same thing. Paul the Apostle, when he was Saul, was one of those guys. And now he's in prison 6 months before he dies. He's been there a long time. He's been tortured a lot. He's had a lot of challenges. He's not recanted his faith. He's actually ramped his faith up to a new level. And Paul says to Timothy, don't be shy about this. Spread the gospel. Please tell everybody you can tell so that it can never be squelched. That's our job. 80,000 churches this year are going to close. And if we're not careful, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in those churches that represent those churches, they're literally going to stop talking about the things of God. They get discouraged about their church or hurt by what happened or whatever, and they're just going to go quiet. And that's exactly the opposite of what the church is supposed to be doing. The church is supposed to be building a community of people who are ever expanding for the glory of God. It means you keep telling people. You just keep on telling people. And then thirdly, we're to fellowship in each other's homes and share meals and invite and connect those who are far from God. We're to fellowship in each other's homes. Let me ask if you go back to the second one, to build a community of people who function as an ever-expanding family. Have you seen the family of God expand in your family? In other words, have you seen people in your family come to Christ, searching to know what's happening in your life? That's a great thing to have happen, by the way. Have you been able to witness to other people about that? Darlene and I were at Home of Grace last night. I'm not going to do well with this one. And we had, there was a coach there. We still don't know his name. There's a coach from, he goes to Dolphin Way, and Jack brought him. And I was sort of cracking up because he was all coach, man. He walked into a room full of women in his coaching shorts and his shirt and his hat and stood there and gave his testimony and all that. And his testimony was not good. He had drug and alcohol problems and been a party kid at Alabama and all that kind of stuff. And but he gave his testimony, and then Jack asked me to close with the gospel, and I shared very strongly what the gospel is, not powder-coated, not like, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I was like, no, God wants everything. He wants you to fully surrender. Stop trying to control your own life. Stop trying to run things. Give yourself up for God. And we had six women come to Christ last night. First time ever, they came to Christ. They prayed the prayer, the sinner's prayer, and they came up and they wrote their names down. I have their names, by the way, if you'd like to be a prayer partner with me with them. Most of them are in their first couple of weeks at the program, and they've got a long way to go, and a lot of people don't like the long way to go part. It's the, you got to go through some hard stuff to get healthy and get some good stuff going. So I'm just going to encourage you to be prayer partners with me with them. I'm going to give you one of their names, and it's Kristen, and I've been praying for a member of her family for 18 years. For 18 years, I had no idea God one day was going to send her into my world to help get to the Home of Grace. We helped her get there a couple weeks ago. And for her to come to Christ, because now she can be the instrument in the home that I've been praying so hard for 18 years, right? It's an ever-expanding family. And your job is to keep figuring out how to expand the family. Some of these chairs, they're diminishing, by the way. I hope they're getting saved. These people, the chairs have gone and gotten saved, right? See, I know one of mine has. One of my names I wrote down. Done. We're done. That's awesome, isn't it? Y'all got to have a little life in it. Come on. So these chairs, we put them down here a few weeks ago to represent people that you know that are far from God and need to come to Christ. It's your job. And it's not just your job because, you know, God's real mean and wants you to do it. It's because he loves them so much. And he wants you to love them so much that you can't let go and you can't stop caring, and you have to find a creative way to share the truth and the gospel with them, or just wear them out, one or the other. Just nag them to death. Some of y'all are really good at nagging and not gonna point fingers. Y'all are really good at, just nag them if you have to. It's life and death, heaven and hell. The body of Christ is supposed to be ever expanding, and if we're not ever expanding, we are gonna close. That's what's gonna happen. So that's a passion that I believe we're supposed to have for the Lord. Amen. And this New Testament church had that. So then we said to fellowship in each other's homes and share meals. How many of you like to eat in each everybody's homes? How many of you have been to my house and ate? A bunch of you have, right? How many of you have been to other people's houses in the church and ate? How many of you are gonna let us come over this afternoon and come to your house? Come on now. You know? Come on, yeah. Come on. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be figuring all that out together. And when you invite some of us over to your house for lunch or dinner or a special, you know, thing you want to grill out or whatever you're doing, all you got to do is go to your neighbor next door, your neighbor or a coworker, and go, hey, I'm having some friends over this Friday, this Saturday. You want to come hang out with us? I'm going to make some of my famous blah, blah, whatever you're making, you know. Just do it. That's how you get unsaved, far from God people, lost people, up against godly people. Now, when they do that and all your church family get there, don't just talk about stuff that you know. Love on them. But we're supposed to be having those kind of meals, the Zacchaeus kind of meals where you just, is it Zacchaeus that we've been talking about? Where you just go, hey, Jesus goes, hey, I'm coming to your house today. Well, when you're at your house, Jesus is there with you. Invite somebody to come eat with you that doesn't know him. You can bring some of us that know him, and we can have some talks. And you don't, it's not a, you know, hey, we're going to have a devotion now, and I'm going to open my Bible and present the gospel to you, you strange person, right? That's not how you do it. You just get around and talk to each other. Hey, what do you do for a living, and where do you work, and, you know, how do you like that, and how old are your kids, and what's going on with all that? Building relationships. And God will give you something you can speak into right there in the middle of all that. But we're supposed to be in our homes using our community fellowship to invite each other. All right, and then the next one is to pray for one another and bear each other's burdens. I think Northside's pretty good with that. Lots of prayers. We're working on getting the prayer text cycle back around. That'll come up to you soon. So you'll get some information from Marie at the office here about how to be part of that if you want to be a part of the text prayer chain community thing. So, but we need to pray for one another and bear each other's burdens. We do. We have to carry each other's burdens. And if you don't know somebody's burden in here, you don't have to know everybody's, by the way. I know a bunch of them, but you don't have to know everybody's, but you got to know somebody's. Somebody in this church, you're supposed to carry burdens with each other. I'll give you a simple example, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody. But there are some families in here there's a family in here, who have young men, a couple of families, who have young men that are serving our military out in the field. And they're out in places where you don't hear from them for months at a time because of the projects and the things they're working on, right? There's some families like that, right? Did y'all know that? We have some people here whose relatives and family are out serving our country, protecting our freedoms in places that are dangerous. And I know a lady whose son did that for years. Navy SEAL. And if you want a prayer partner, Miss Emily will be your prayer partner. I'm telling you, she prayed her son through all of that stuff, right? She knows what it's like to have a son doing all that. And there's no reason that should not be a community right there. Just looking at the ones that I know. There's no reason you can't make a community out of that right there. And just love on each other. That's how we fellowship and bear each other's burdens. Amen? And then to share our resources for the work of God's family around the world. One of the things I love about Northside is we're a mission-based church. We love missions. We teach missions. We preach missions. We give to missions. We ask you to fill up your baby bottles. We had an idea this morning. What was that idea this morning? We're going to hand everybody a baby bottle and say, we want you to run to your car. Run to your car. Get the change out of your car and put it in the baby bottle and bring it back in. How many of you have a bunch of change in your center console, right? So we're going to have a race. Of course, we'd probably have to have a medical team standing by for some of us if we run. But We're gonna run. Well, the first person back was gonna get ice cream. So we were gonna give you a sort of a bonus incentive to run. But you know, this is part of us helping the world and missions get better. And we have missionaries in Israel. We have missionaries all over that we are caring for. In Romania, we want you to stay a part of that and stay connected with that. And then we share our resources. If you have something that you need as a resource, and you think it's something somebody else in our church might have one or more of, we just share, right? How many of you borrowed lawnmowers from me? Or Kendall? Yeah, there's a whole list of those people, right? We just share. It's like, I don't have it. It's broken. It doesn't work, right? So we just share. That's okay. It's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share with one another. So if somebody would share an air conditioner with us, that would be awesome, because ours died. While I was at chapel at Home of Grace last night, ours died. So if you could share an air conditioner, that'd be awesome. So a little warm in our house last night. But yeah, a little bit. So if some of you want to share a bedroom with us, we'll come over today. A meal and a bedroom, I'm just asking. I have no hands going on. What is up with that? Yeah, come on. So, but we're supposed to share our resources for God's family. And that's local and around the world and personal, right? It's supposed to be personal. If you don't have something, you know, if you're working on something at your house or you can't figure your electricity out, you know, Jay's an electrician now. He owns a house and he's become an electrician. He knows how to throw his breaker back and forth because he called me on the phone and we worked through that. Right? So he'll help you throw breakers now. He's excellent at that. Right? So, and then we're supposed to hold each other accountable. That was the word that somebody used earlier. We're supposed to hold each other accountable to love and worship God corporately and individually with thankfulness and joy. That's the little phrase in the text where it says gladness and sincerity. So we're supposed to be holding each other accountable. Holding each other accountable. It's one of the things I love about my relationship with the men in this church. I have several men that will look right at me and go, "That's not okay. That attitude's not going to get it. No, let's go to breakfast. Let's work through this." I'm like, "Oh, here we go again. We're going to get emotional, right?" But I have to work through stuff because I get bad attitudes about, you know, people. So like, just like you do, and I hurt sometimes, and I need somebody to work me through stuff and hold me accountable to be right thinking and right behavior before God. I don't want to be out of bounds with God. If somebody can help me fix that, fix it. Right? Hold me accountable. That's what the local church is supposed to do, to hold each other accountable. And then lastly, to praise God. We're to be praising God. For all He's done. Now all of these devoting ourselves, building up a community, fellowshipping, praying, holding each other accountable, and praising. Those are all action words. They're not sitting down words. None of them. Right? I can worship while I sit down. Yeah, I get that. Okay, but I'm just saying you're supposed to be actively doing these things. You know, church isn't a social gathering. It's not a club where you just, I've signed up for the club now, I just show up for my membership meetings every so often and we're good. Right? And I'm going to get into heaven because of all that. That is not how the New Testament church was born, nor what its purposes were. It's supposed to be impacting a community of people. And it's supposed to create a sense of awe, not awe, but awe in the neighborhood. Like the people down the street in LeBaron. I'm dying for us to create a sense of awe. That's amazing. In LeBaron Woods. I'm dying for them to hear the testimony of you know, John's heart attack this past Thursday and how you know God miraculously provided the right people on the phone, the right people at the right time, 7 minutes before the paramedics were there. I mean, when do you ever think that paramedics are going to get there? And by the way, Ms. Brenda, who knows the paramedics real well, said the top two paramedics in the city showed up at his work. Top two. John could have been out on call somewhere in the middle of Booga Booga with his job, you know, because that's what he does. He goes out and, you know, picks up these trucks that are broke down, these cement trucks that are broke down. Right? And he could have been out in Booga Booga trying to work on something. And that would have been that. We'd been having a funeral for John. Right? I think we can tell some people in LeBaron Woods. I know there's some people in LeBaron Woods. I met a man who's – I met a daughter of a man who her father had recently had a heart attack. You know, so I can compare notes with them now, right? I can connect with her again. I'll compare notes and say, look at what God's done. By the way, this daughter I met said she used to go to Northside many, many moons before I was there, way back when I was in Bible college. So she knows the place, right? So you have all this opportunity right there for us to be light and salt if we'll just take it as a serious plan and initiative. Amen?